Well, again, our text this morning is from Matthew 13. Please have your Bibles open before you as we'll be looking at that passage, verses 1 to 9, the parable, and then the explanation are in verses 18 to 23. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, have you ever heard of a million-dollar sermon? It's maybe not exactly what you're thinking. It's a sermon that's not worth a lot of money. It's a sermon that makes the rounds. Usually it's preached by a student. He doesn't have many sermons in the barrel. And so what he does is he takes out the same message each time he goes into a different church, and he keeps preaching it. And each time he makes money with pulpit supply, and so thus it has this nickname, the million-dollar sermon. Well, sometimes preaching the same sermon to a different congregation can create a different response. Some people are interested, and you can see that in the way that they nod or they're following along. They're obviously engaged in what is being said. You go to another congregation and others are sleeping in their pew. They're not really paying attention, and you just want to get out of there because they're just not really following it. Well, there is those type of people in each congregation. Some are hard, they won't change. Others are curious, and still others are enthusiastic and encouraging. And usually the eye of the preacher is on those kind of people because they're the ones who are following. The reason why we're using this illustration is because it helps us to understand the parable that we have just read. There were mixed responses to Christ. Sometimes there was opposition. Sometimes there was outright rejection. But other times, there was true belief. This is why Jesus spoke this way. Why parables? What is a parable, actually? That's maybe a good question to ask. First of all, what exactly is a parable? Well, there are many ways that we can answer those questions, since many different men in history have been perplexed over them. We could just answer that very simply. A parable is not an allegory. It's not like Pilgrim's Progress or C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia. It's not an allegory. It's not a fable based on animal stories. No, a parable, as James Boyce puts it, is a story taken from real life and real situations which a spiritual or moral truth is conveyed. And so let me just read that again. It's a story taken from real life and real situations from which a spiritual or moral truth is conveyed. We might say it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That leads us to another question. Why did Jesus tell them? Why are they found in the gospel in the first place? Well, Jesus told them to reveal truth, but he also told them to conceal it. And we see that very clearly, that he was fulfilling prophecy. Verse 14 of this passage says, "Hearing, you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing, you will see and not perceive." There are many different reasons why Jesus told parables. There's his sovereign working at hand. But to put it simply, God, in his sovereignty and his decree, was making people responsible for what they heard. Some people won't hear God's teaching because their minds are made up. But there are those in whom God works through his sovereign spirit. And they are blessed by the Lord to hear the truth. Their eyes and their ears and their hearts are filled with understanding as they perceive the mysteries of God's kingdom. That's why we begin this series on the parables with the familiar words, which we commonly call the parable of the sower. In them we see different faces and different hearts who sat under the Lord's teaching. Some are superficial, some are distracted, but some are able to hear the word and they take it to heart. Therefore, consider four types of hearers as Jesus speaks of the seed and the soil. First, we have the hard of heart hearer. As Jesus left the house where he was staying at, where he was teaching, he came to the seashore, and there were lots of people who saw him there. At this point in Jesus' ministry, he was very popular. And so Jesus got into a boat, and all the people assembled at the seashore in order to hear him. And as he began to speak, he spoke of a sower. Now, children, I have to ask you the question this morning, what is a sower? Well, it's a farmer, really. But he's not like our modern farmer who is an expert in using heavy equipment like tractors and plows and planters and combines, or, you know, using even GPS to navigate the field to know exactly how much spray to put out. Farming was relatively simple in Jesus' day. When our Lord taught this parable of the sower, Jesus didn't have to explain what a Galilean farmer was like. They would see the farmer at work in the field sowing kernels of wheat or barley. The farmer in Jesus' parable is a man who walked through his field with a bag of seed slung around his neck and shoulders, and this bag would be in front of him, and he would take handfuls of seed, and he would, with each step, rhythmically throw the seed up and down the rows. The farmer wasn't concerned about the small few kernels that landed on the path, or about the seed that landed where there was limestone, or about the seed that fell where there might have been some weeds. No, this was all in a day's work, because this was all done by hand. And, you know, it would take an entire day to basically sow your field by hand. The farmer, or the sower, represents the preacher of the word as the word goes out. The seed represents the word of God. The soil represents the human heart. And the crop represents the result of a life transformed by the word as it takes deep root in the soul. This is what the kingdom of God is like. The gospel goes forth to hearts just as the seed is thrown onto the soil. And what kind of ground is the seed going to land on? In the same way, what kind of heart is the word going to land on? Jesus says the first kind of seed fell by the path and the birds came down and gobbled it all up. This ground is hard. It's a path. It's where you would walk on all the time. There had been many times that this had been walked on. Growing up in rural southern Ontario, there were what we called clay roads. And if you went on the clay road, if you know what that is, it's basically a road that would go to the back bush where a lot of the fields would begin. The soil on those areas was nothing but like rock. It was so hard. And yes, seed would fall down and it would get gobbled up by the birds. This first type of soil represents the hard heart, of which there are many today as well as in Jesus' time. Jesus is saying that there are hearts that are like this. They hear the preaching of the kingdom, but the word doesn't penetrate. We might say it goes in one ear and then out the other. Or it's like water off a duck's back. Perhaps someone comes to church sporadically whenever a spouse drags them, or because they're there out of a sense of tradition or duty, but they refuse to listen. They resist and they fight what they hear. Well, they might be pretty, you know, polite when they hear that, when they hear the gospel. But they resist God's claim on their life. They fight against the challenges to their lifestyle or to their speech. This kind of person doesn't understand the spiritual realities of the word. And Jesus is very clear about that in our text. In verse 19, he explains that they have no understanding. The great irony is this type of hearer tends to think of themselves as a strong person. They're not weak. They're not soft. They're self-determined. Where does the fault lie then? Well, the fault lies in their heart. Felix, the Roman governor, had a heart like that. You remember how Paul stood before him in his chains, making his defense. And Paul never cast pearls before swine when he stood before Felix. No, he spoke about the judgment to come. He spoke about righteousness and how people are going to have to give an account. And Felix, who was so worn by business of his life and the passing pleasures of sin, did not open himself to the truth. Maybe there's someone like that here this morning who's exactly like that. Jesus is very firm about what kind of hearer that person is. Notice again in your Bible's verse 19, as he explains this, he says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. So Satan distorts the message. He diverts attention. And he clouds the mind. He blinds the heart. As we read in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, it says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Do you know why some people are like that? Why they are hardened to the truth? Well, it's because they love sin. They love sin more than they love God. And that's very clear even just from the context. Jesus here is speaking about the kingdom of God. Kingdom means rule. It means the rule of God over people. And of course, if people are going to hear that and they resist God, they're not going to want that. Naturally, we're all like that. We think of Adam, who did not want God's rule over him. That's why he disobeyed God and ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He wanted freedom. And the same is true today. Jesus calls for a life of submission, but by nature, people prefer to be free from this. Look into your own hearts today. If you don't have godly sorrow, if you don't want to give your life to the Lord, but you want to make your own decisions. You want to do your own things. That is a heart that is hard. And like that hard path, so is the hard-hearted hearer. Well, it brings us to see, secondly, the shallow heart hearer. Jesus speaks next about seed that fell on stony ground. And the rocky soil here is not soil with rocks in it necessarily. It refers to thin layers of soil that cover great sheets of bedrock. There's a provincial park in Ontario called Algonquin, and it's in the Canadian Shield. It's a huge park. A lot of logging goes on there, but parts of it are for camping and for recreation. It's really what we would call cottage country. But years ago, the Scotch-Irish settlers came into this area and they thought that they could farm it. And they weren't very successful because their are sheets of granite, basically under soil. It's just full of rocks, and they basically starved. And so it is with what Jesus is saying. The seed gets into the surface of the ground. There's enough moisture to get things going. Shallow soil is usually gets warm faster. But because the roots don't go deep enough, the budding plants withers under the heat of the sun. Jesus says this corresponds to the kind of listener who receives the word, but only in a shallow and superficial way. They may have a momentary interest in the gospel. They receive it with joy and with enthusiasm. They're overjoyed over their newfound faith. And yes, they'll be involved in the church. They'll be involved in the fellowship. They'll be busy in doing different things, but they don't have a firm root. And as soon as some difficulty comes, like a loss of job or a misunderstanding with someone else or perhaps a bad romance, they end up leaving the church just as soon as they had embraced it. In other words, their response to the word was never genuine. They seemed to be Christians, but they never had true faith or repentance. These are the kind of people who are led by strong emotions. They have to feel everything. And they might admire good oration. They like good talent. However, they gravitate towards preachers whose talents suit their own tastes. And there's a good illustration of this in the book of Ezekiel. As people came out to hear Ezekiel, they loved to hear his voice. He was a good preacher, we might say, and they came out to hear him, and they would walk away from the sermon, and they would say, "Wow, that was good. He's got a great voice. He could be a singer." Meanwhile, they missed the warnings. They missed what God was trying to say to them. And I wonder this morning, do we have any shallow heart hearers here today? Maybe there's someone here who likes their ear tickled by some tantalizing data. That's about it. We might say, "Well, that's not me. I'm a pretty good listener in church. I actually enjoy preaching. It's something I enjoy." But our hearts, again, are very deceptive. Look again in your Bibles how Jesus explains this parable in verses 20 and 21. He says there, "But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles." And so Jesus is saying here that there are two occasions where that person falls. One is tribulation or affliction. It denotes some kind of mishap or accident or disaster, all by God's providence. Someone with a shallow heart will get angry with God when something like that happens. And he'll start to ask himself questions. How could a good God let this happen to me? And they become bitter. And the other temptation is persecution. The shallow heart here ends up being subjected to emotional taunts by peers. You ever had that happen to you before as a Christian? People making fun of you because you were a believer? Or it could even be a physical kind of persecution, a physical abuse. Whatever kind of persecution it is, the person grows tired of the pressure with others and he caves in and goes along with the crowd. And then we ask ourselves the question, what attracted them? Were they looking for good things like friendships, caring people, nice music, activities, and more teaching, moral teaching for their children? It could be any of those things. But true faith is never destroyed because of trials. Instead, true faith is perfected. It is made more mature, as James 1 very clearly says. We have to ask ourselves on this morning, do I have a faith that grows stronger or weaker due to afflictions? How do I stand under the pressures from the world against my faith? Have I been made stronger, or have I caved in? Have I increased my faith or lost it? Because, congregation, just being in church and mouthing the things that you hear other people say does not make you a follower of Christ. You might be a shallow heart hearer. Your heart may be that rocky soil. Well, thirdly, we have the strangled heart hearer. This is the seed that's thrown among the thorns. The soil looks good, but has been cultivated. It has not been turned. It's full of weeds. A garden that's full of weeds is a garden that doesn't produce. And if you're a gardener, you know what that's like. When all your efforts into gardening are for naught because your garden isn't producing, that's discouraging. But notice again Jesus' explanation of this part of the parable in verse 22. He says, "Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." So the thorny heart is like that, like the shallow heart that starts to grow under the word, but there are other things that start to preoccupy. This time, the distractions are different. For one, the cares of the world take over. And when Jesus uses that phrase, the cares of the world or the worries of this world, what he means is the cares or the concerns of the present. This could mean, for instance, paying bills. Or it could mean worrying over an exam. Or concerns about business. Or fret over children. None of these things are in themselves sinful. But they could preoccupy and take over a heart. And the Word of God is overgrown with weeds. Jesus also mentions the deceitfulness of riches. And so this has to do with luxuries. Jesus gave plenty of warnings against that. "I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God," Jesus said. "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than what? Than for a rich man to enter the kingdom." Jesus said, "Woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your," what? "Your comfort." Riches can choke us out, like Ananias and Sapphira, who love their land, who love their money more than they love the Lord. But the thing is, it doesn't happen all at once. It's a gradual process. It's like weeds, you know, they slowly grow. Well, I guess sometimes they grow fast, but it has the idea of choking them, choking the plants. These are those who are often engaged in the bigger and the better. They need the best clothes. They need the best car. They need the best house. They need the best neighborhood. Or maybe you've heard this prayer before. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray my Cuisinart to keep. I pray my stocks are on the rise and that my analyst is wise. That racquetball won't get too tough. That all my sushi's fresh enough. I pray my cordless phone still works. That my career won't lose its perks. My microwave won't radiate. My condo won't depreciate. I pray my health club doesn't close. and that my money market grows. If I go broke before I wake, I pray my Volvo they won't take. Well, it hardly needs to be mentioned that this is the kind of culture that we're in. We're in a culture of materialism. And it can be oh so subtle for us in the church today. That's why Jesus says, beware of covetousness. In Mark chapter 4, the parallel passage, Jesus speaks of the desire for things. That's what basically creeps up into the life of this person who has this kind of a heart. Luke adds the pleasures of this life. And the phrases there indicate the desire for a comfortable life that's filled with pleasure, with sensual delights. And the modern world is definitely like that. We are a culture that wants to be amused. We are constantly bombarded with entertainment. In our homes, definitely in our homes, now in our vehicles, in the airport, and at the gas pump, even between plays at the football game. You know, the loud thumping music comes on, the dancing girls come out, and the Jumbotron is flashing away. And sadly, some people are being entertained to death. So Jesus' parable calls for some questions and for some self-examination. What weeds are in your life that you need to be pulling out? What is stopping you from growing as you should? Because, dear congregation, we need to be in the Word. We need to be busy in prayer. We must pull out any kind of distraction that takes us away from the fruitful reception of God's Word, or we will perish like the rest of the world. Well, that brings us to see, lastly, the open heart here. Jesus speaks here of the good soil that receives the seed. And this matches with a heart that hears the word and understands it and bears good fruit. Like the other hearts, it receives the truth, but unlike all the others, it perseveres and it grows fruit. And you know what that's like when your garden produces. You're not disappointed when all your gardening efforts are being used. A farmer is happy with a good crop. And so it is with a heart open to receive the benefits of the preaching of the gospel. How does that happen? How does our heart open up to the Word of God? What can you do to make your heart open? Well, there isn't a thing that you can do, congregation. This depends upon the Master Gardener, the Holy Spirit, who can break up the hard ground, who can take out the rocks, who can pull the weeds. So remember what we just read in Ezekiel. God says, I will sprinkle clean water on you. I will make you clean. I will cleanse your iniquity. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove from your heart of stone, remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to follow my laws. Yes, the Lord does work, and He is the one who brings about the fruit. Some of it will be 30-fold, some 60, some 100. Each one is different, as each one is given different gifts and abilities. But don't despair if it's just 30-fold. The question is, are you growing? Are you rooted in the Word? Are you bearing the fruit of perseverance? Because there's only one way to bear fruit, and that is being rooted in Christ and living out of your relationship with Him. So as we wrap all this up, congregation, what does this mean to us this morning? Well, for one thing, it's encouraging, but it's challenging. It's encouraging when we are engaged in the work of promoting God's kingdom. And we've had the opportunity to do that this summer through the soccer outreach. The word has gone out. Some have come to hear that. We don't know how that's all going to work out. God plants the seed. There are people who will resist, and there's nothing that we can do to change them. But there are those who come to faith. In fact, if it's even just one person, Jesus says in Luke chapter 15, I say to you that there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 who see no need for repentance. God gets the glory when His word is opened. And so it's encouraging to think how God's kingdom can grow in this way. But this parable is also challenging to us today because not any of us can escape this description of the different hearts. We can only be one of these types of soils. And so how about you? Do you refuse to let the word deal with your heart? That's a dangerous place to be. If that's the case, you need to pray, Lord, soften my heart. Make it receptive to your word. Do you have a shallow heart? Do you have a superficial? Do you receive the word superficially? Is your belief in God ready to collapse at the first sign of trouble? Then your prayer needs to be, Lord, take your word and plant it deeply in my heart. Make it work there so that it will never be uprooted. Or maybe you are just too busy. You have a busy heart. You're too wrapped up in this world. You're allowing the riches of this life to eat away at your soul. If that's the case, your prayer needs to be, Lord, take away the weeds. Pull them out by the roots so that they are no more. Give to me a heart that is open to you. The kingdom of God begins in the heart. Has it taken root in yours? If that's the case, you can rejoice. But if there's doubt, plead with the sower, the Lord of the harvest, to plow and to clean your heart. If anyone has the ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. Let's turn now to hymn 390.